I waited 2 minutes, willed it to get darker. Then I changed back into my own coat and jacket and retrieved the persuaders from the chair, eased the door open, and crawled out and closed it behind me and dropped to my stomach, pressed my shoulder to the base of the wall and started the slow crawl all over again. I kept my face turned away from the house. There was grit underneath me, and I could feel small stones sharp against my elbows and my knees, but mostly I could feel a tingle in my back. It was facing a weapon that could fire 12 half-inch bullets every second. There was probably some tough guy right behind it with his hands resting lightly on the handles. I was hoping he would miss with the first burst. I figured he probably would. I figured he would fire the first burst way low or way high, whereupon I would be up and running zigzags into the darkness before he lined up for a better try. I inched forward 10 yards, 15, 20. I kept it really slow, kept my face turned to the wall, hoped I looked like a vague, indistinct shadow in the penumbra. It was completely counterintuitive. I was fighting a powerful desire to jump up and run. My heart was pounding. I was sweating, even though it was cold. The wind was battering me. It was coming off the sea and hitting the wall and streaming down it like a tide and trying to roll me out to where the lights were brightest. I kept going, made it about halfway, about 30 yards covered, about 30 yards to go. My elbows were sore. I was keeping the persuaders up off the ground, and my arms were taking the toll. I stopped to rest, just pressed myself into the dirt, tried to look like a rock. I turned my head and risked a glance toward the house. It was quiet. I glanced ahead, glanced behind. The point of no return. I crawled on, had to force myself to keep the speed slow. The farther I got, the worse my back tingled. I was breathing hard, getting close to panic. Adrenaline was boiling through me, screaming, "Run! Run!" I gasped and panted and forced my arms and legs to stay coordinated, to stay slow. Then I got within 10 yards of the end and started to believe I could make it. I stopped, took a breath, and another, started again. Then the ground tilted down, and I followed it head first. I reached the water, felt wet slime underneath me. Small, rough waves came at me, and spray hit me. I turned a 90-degree left and paused. I was way on the edge of anybody's field of view, but I had to get through 30 feet of bright light. I gave up on keeping it slow. I ducked my head and half stood and just ran for it. I spent maybe 4 seconds lit up brighter than I had ever been before. It felt like 4 lifetimes. I was blinded. Then I crashed back into darkness and crouched down and listened. Heard nothing except the wild sea. Saw nothing except purple spots in my eyes. I stumbled on another 10 paces over the rocks and then stood still, looked back. I was in. I smiled in the dark. "Quinn, I'm coming to get you now." Chapter 15. 10 years ago, I waited 18 hours for him. I never doubted he was coming. I just sat in his armchair with the Ruger on my lap and waited. I didn't sleep. I barely even blinked, just sat. All through the night, through the dawn, all through the next morning. Midday came and went. I just sat and waited for him. He came at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I heard a car slowing on the road and stood up and kept well back from the window and watched as he turned in. He was in a rental, similar to mine. It was a red Pontiac. I saw him clearly through the windshield. He was neat and clean. His hair was combed. He was wearing a blue shirt with the collar open. He was smiling. The car swept past the side of the house, and I heard it crunch to a stop on the dirt outside the kitchen. I stepped through to the hallway, pressed myself against the wall next to the kitchen door. I heard his key in the lock, heard the door swing open. The hinges squealed in protest. He left it open. I heard his car idling outside. He hadn't switched it off. He wasn't planning on staying long. I heard his feet on the kitchen linoleum, a fast, light, confident tread. A man who thought he was playing and winning. He came through the door. I hit him on the side of the head with my elbow. He went down on the floor on his back, and I spanned my hand and pinned him by the throat, laid the Ruger aside and patted him down. He was unarmed. I let go of his neck, and his head came up, and I smashed it back down with the heel of my hand under his chin. The back of his head hit the floor, and his eyes rolled up in his head. I walked through the kitchen and closed the door, stepped back, and dragged him into the living room by the wrists, dropped him on the floor and slapped him twice, aimed the Ruger at the center of his face, and waited for his eyes to open. They opened, and focused first on the gun, and then on me. I was in uniform, and all covered in badges of rank and unit designations, so it didn't take him long to work out who I was and why I was there.
"Wait," he said.
"For what?"
"You're making a mistake."
"Am I?"
"You got it wrong."
"Have I?" He nodded.
"They were on the take."
"Who were?"
"Fresconi and Cole."
"Were they?" He nodded again.
"And then he tried to cheat her."
"How?"
"Can I sit up?"
I shook my head, kept the gun where it was.
"No. I was running a sting. I was working with the State Department against hostile embassies. I was trawling."
"What about Garofsky's kid?" He shook his head impatiently.
"Nothing happened with the damn kid, you idiot. Garofsky had a script to follow, that's all. It was a setup, in case the hostiles checked on him. We play these things deep. There has to be a chain to follow in case anyone is suspicious. We were doing proper dead drops and everything in case we were being watched."
"What about Fresconi and Cole?"
"They were good. They picked up on me real early. Assumed I wasn't legit. Which pleased me. Meant I was playing my part just right. Then they went bad. They came to me and said they'd slow the investigation if I paid them. They said they'd give me time to leave the country. They thought I wanted to do that. So I figured, hey, why not play along? Because who knows in advance what bad guys a troll will find. And the more the merrier, right? So I played them out."
I said nothing.
"The investigation was slow, wasn't it? You must have noticed that. Weeks and weeks. It was real slow."
"Slow as molasses," I thought.